It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Amazon is offering one-day delivery to a growing list of communities, but our guest says the convenience may come with a cost. First, the number of Americans who identify as having no religion is getting bigger over the years. It's been trending that way for quite a while now. In the 1980s, less than 10% said they didn't belong to a religion. Today, that number hovers over 20%. Our next guest says if these trends continue, no religion could be the biggest religious affiliation in America in a decade. Ryan Burge is an assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. He focuses on the intersection of religion and political behavior. He's also senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Before we get to these projections for the future, can you spell out some of the biggest trends we've seen when it comes to religion in the United States in recent years?
Well, yeah, the biggest trend, obviously, is the rise of what we call the nones, the N-O-N-E-S. Those are people who say on surveys that they have no religious affiliation. That's typically made up of three groups. Atheists are people who say that there is no God. Agnostics are people who say that there might be a God, but there's no way for us to find out. And there's this third group that's interesting, called the nothing in particular group, and they're the kind of people who just, when they are asked the religion question on surveys, just sort of shrug their shoulders and say none of the above. And interestingly enough, they're about 20% of Americans say that they have no religious affiliation in particular. Atheists are about 5%, agnostics are about 5% as well.
And Ryan, you recently tried to project out into the future to see what things might look like in 2030. And I want to say up front, you know, sometimes people make these bold, confident predictions that this is how things will be. This is not what you're doing. You're just looking at current trends and kind of seeing how things would play out if we continue more or less on the same path. Can you talk about what you did?
Yeah, so I used a survey called the General Social Survey. It's sort of the gold standard of people who study religion in American society because it's asked the same religion questions in the same way biannually since 1972. The sample size is typically between 2,500 and 3,000 per wave, so a pretty good sample size. And the real winner here is because it's got this consistency over time. It hasn't changed the way it asked religion questions. So we divide American religion up into seven different categories. That is evangelical Protestants, mainline Protestants, black Protestants, Catholics, Jews, people of other faith traditions, and then people who have no religious affiliation. And, you know, I've been tracking these trends over the last 10 years or so in terms of what groups are growing in size and what groups are getting smaller in size. And obviously, like we just talked about, the growth in no religion has been sort of meteoric and exponential over the last 20 years or so. And so I constantly would get asked these questions by people, and they see my charts. They say, okay, but what does American religion look like in 10 years or in 20 years, you know? And I didn't have a good answer to that, a good statistical answer to that. So I wanted to do like a really simple exercise where I basically just shot a line through each trend for each of the seven groups from 1980 into 2030. So just about 11 years into the future to see what they would look like. Because really what I was looking at is the question I always get asked are, when are nuns going to be the largest group in America? And according to this very, very simple model, it looks like 2029 will be the year when we can conclusively say that the religiously unaffiliated will be larger than Catholics or evangelicals and will clearly be the largest religious group in America.
Now, the key there is if current trends continue, that'll happen. But some people point, and you write about this in your piece projecting here, sometimes American religion moves and fits and starts. We have these great awakenings where people flock to a new faith or congregation or renew their faith. That is something that could happen potentially over the next 11 years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there could be things that happen either direction, right? We could see, a lot of evangelicals pray for revival, and they pray for like the third great awakening or the fourth great awakening, depending on how you want to count it, right? If that happens, then this model falls apart. I mentioned if we have like a 9/11 type event, this model might fall apart again as well. So, you know, it's prediction is a terribly difficult business because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 5 years from now. This is assuming that everything that's happened from 1980 to 2018 will continue apace into the next 10 or 11 years.
Talking to Ryan Burge, assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. He looks at the intersection of religion and political behavior. In a recent exercise, he projected out current religious trends in the United States up to 2030. Ryan, what, and I know there are arguments about this, what do we see driving this rise of, again, the nuns, the people who say they don't affiliate with a particular religious group?
Yeah, so that's a super complex question, right? I mean, there's many things that get kind of stirred into the pot when we talk about what makes people become unaffiliated. And there's, I'll give you the highlights. One is what's called secularization theory, which is this old theory in social science that argues that as a country becomes more economically prosperous and people gain higher levels of education, a natural conclusion of that is they will sort of cast off religion because they don't need it anymore. And the evidence of that would be Europe. I mean, most European countries now are post-Christian in a lot of ways, especially like in Scandinavian, Northern European countries. About 10 or 15% of people attend church every week. So maybe what's happening in America is, as we're getting more economically prosperous, where we're getting higher levels of education, that we're sort of casting off religion. Just we're doing it slower than Europe did. We're sort of 30 or 40 years behind Europe. That's one theory. Another theory that I sort of like is that people are just being honest on surveys now when they used to lie. You know, because it just used to be culturally unacceptable to be religiously unaffiliated. You know, before the internet, if you were, an atheist in rural Mississippi, you would probably never tell anyone you were an atheist in rural Mississippi because you'd be ostracized, right? Because it's a predominantly Christian area. So the internet has allowed people to find other rural atheists in Mississippi, and they don't feel like they're alone anymore. And I feel like it's kind of a thing where as more and more people came out and said, listen, I'm atheist, I'm agnostic, it sort of gave permission for people who were more reluctant to say, you know what, I am too. So maybe what we're seeing here is not really more and more people are disaffiliating. What we might actually be seeing is more and more people are just being honest when we ask them the survey questions.
Another thought is that we've seen sociology research that says, hey, Americans are joining stuff less than they used to, whether that thing is a bowling league or the Rotary or whatever it might be. Is a similar thing going on with religion? Not necessarily we're becoming less spiritual, we're just not joiners anymore?
Yeah, so you're referencing, that's a great reference, a book called Bowling Alone by Robert Putnam, a book that argues that it was written in the 1990s, and basically Putnam argues that we're joining stuff less, like you talk about the Rotary, and we're not bowling in bowling leagues anymore, we're bowling by ourselves. And, you know, he lays that at the feet of cable television, because it was 1994, you know, what else did you have? And so I would argue that now we Facebook alone, and we tweet alone, and we Instagram alone, you know, it's sort of cable television to the 10th power with social media and with Netflix and with streaming and everything else. It's become so much easier now as a modern American to be socially isolated than it was even 20 or 30 years ago. And I think what's happened with church attendance, it's sort of gotten caught up in this wave of social isolation where it's not just church attendance by itself. It's just social isolation in all aspects of life, not just in the religious sphere.
Is there a generational divide in our religious affiliation? Do we see, for example, more millennials and Generation Z people likely to identify as not being affiliated with a religion?
Yeah, so every successive generation is less religious than the prior generation before them. And that's been consistent basically for the last 50 years or so. The thing that makes that difficult, though, is, and a lot of people want to ask me about like Gen Z, are they even more religious? And the answer is yes, they actually are. Almost 40% of them say they have no religious affiliation. But the problem is that we know that if you ask a 22-year-old, their religiosity is going to be low anyway because they're in college, they're sort of figuring things out, sowing their wild oats and moving around and, you know, all the things that happen in your late teens and early 20s. What really we care about is what is their religion like when they hit like 35, when they get married, when they have kids, when they settle down, because we would expect them to return to church at some level when they reach their mid-30s. If they don't, then we can say that, wow, we're really, trending in a more religiously unaffiliated direction now. But obviously we can't, you know, predict what they're going to do 15 years down the line.
Do we know, if I could phrase this right, how a Generation Z person at age X, say 25, compares to a millennial at age 25 compares to Generation X and boomers at that same age?
Yeah, so the what I always say is the Y-intercept has gone down. You're right. We're dropping farther. The baseline is dropping farther and farther in terms of religious attendance, which means that every successive generation, at every successive step of their life course, is attending less than the prior generation did. Right. So a 35-year-old who was 35 in 1980 attended more than a 35-year-old in 2000. So every 35-year-old generation is going down the ladder. This is called age period cohort relationships. What we do know is that every generation starts lower and stays lower throughout the entire life course. So there's definitely, I mean, all that data points to this rise of the nuns not slowing down and even potentially accelerating to a level where, I mean, it's very likely by 2035 or 2040, a third of all Americans could be religiously unaffiliated.
Talking to Ryan Burge from Eastern Illinois University about the future of religion in the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a person of faith yourself, someone who does identify with a particular religious group, how have you seen your religious community change over the years? Does it seem like it gets harder and harder to bring the young people in or to bring them back as they get into their 30s? If you're someone who is part of that none, N-O-N-E category, what's your story? Why have you chosen not to be affiliated with a religious group? Are you an atheist or agnostic, or do you consider yourself spiritual but not connected to a particular, say, congregation? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk with Ryan Burge, an expert on religion and political behavior at Eastern Illinois University. We're talking about what religion in America might be like in about a decade, 2030 or so, what the trends are. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. The big story over the past couple decades, and maybe the next one too, the rise of people who say they're not affiliated with any particular religion for whatever reason. Is that you? Are you one of the so-called nuns, or are you a person of faith? Did you leave for a while and then come back, or have you seen your congregation change age over the years? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Corey is with us in Harmony, Minnesota. Corey, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Corey?
I was just calling to put my input. I am actually 30, almost 31, and I quit going for a long time, but now I have brought my children back into it, and I was baptized Catholic, confirmed Methodist, and now I actually attend a Baptist church.
Corey, thanks. And if I may ask, do you want to talk about why you were away from the congregations for a while?
It didn't matter to me or to my ex, and I was more willing to go, but he didn't want to, so then I just never went, and now I'm glad that I have someone that is willing to go with me, and we go with his grandparents, and we even have a Sunday school for adults and Sunday school for children, and then we all get together for the actual service.
Corey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your story. Ryan, you'd mentioned that to this case where often people might go away in their upper teens and 20s, but then come back, especially when there are kids involved.
Yeah, no, Corey's a great example of what we were talking about. It's called the life cycle effect, right? It's like sort of people sort of calm down, they get to their 30s. But what's more interesting to me about Corey's story is it sort of reflects what we know about how people are shifting around the religious ecosystem, right? So she said she started as Catholic, but then she became Methodist, but then she became Baptist. And that transition is really Catholic to mainline Protestant, which is like the more moderate flavor of Protestant Christianity, to Baptist, which is probably Southern Baptist, which is more evangelical or more conservative forms of Christianity. What's interesting is mainline Protestants were the largest religious tradition in America in 1976. 30% of all Americans were mainline Protestants in 1976. Today, it's 10%. So we've lost that sort of moderate Protestantism, and people are more evangelicals have basically held steady for the last 15 or 20 years. And in Corey's story, you can see that she became more of an evangelical and sort of walked away both from Catholicism and from mainline Protestant Christianity.
Thanks for that call. And Ryan, for huge parts of Christian history, the distinction between a Catholic and a Protestant or a Methodist or a Baptist, I mean, at some points it might be something you'd kill somebody over. At some points you'd have really detailed arguments about the differences in doctrine. that just doesn't seem to be a thing in the United States so much anymore.
Yeah, I think the big, it used to be, I mean, 50 years ago, it was definitely Catholic versus Protestant, right? Especially, you know, anti-papal language, a lot of discrimination that way. And it was also tied up with immigration, too, because a lot of immigrants to this country came from Catholic, predominantly Catholic countries like Europe and Central and South America. I would argue that the major conflict in American religion today is not Catholic versus Protestant. It's actually Christianity versus Islam, especially with the war on terror and all the things that are tied up with that. I think and this has sort of faded a little bit more recently, but definitely, you know, during the George W. Bush years, even the Obama years, there's a lot of anti-Muslim rhetoric in America. So the common enemy for Americans became Muslims. It wasn't Catholic Protestant anymore.
Let's go back to our callers now. Chris is with us in Stevens Point. Chris, hi.
Hi. I'm calling. I'm 31, so I'm kind of right in the middle of the millennials. I was raised a nun. My parents were raised Catholic, but they kind of left the church, and they just kind of left it open for us. And when I got to college, I had a lot of discussion with religious friends, Christian friends, and they were always trying to get me to, you know, come on over. And after, you know, many conversations, I was actually pushed away from really religion in general, because it always came down to this need, well, you have to go to church, you know, and who's going to save you if you don't go to church? And I just never really bought it. I mean, I can be a good person without ascribing that goodness to a higher power.
Chris, thanks for sharing your story. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at some survey data that talked about perceptions of evangelicals, and one of the things that people really admire about evangelicals is they're people of who have strong and consistent beliefs, but the one thing they don't like about evangelicals is they can be too pushy. You know, so it's like this weird sort of contradiction, right, where like we like the fact that people have these strong beliefs, but we're very reluctant when they try to push those beliefs on us or try to evangelize us. So, you know, America has this very interesting relationship with religion where they're totally fine with people being people of belief. They just don't want to be pressed upon by those people of belief.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Ryan Burge from Eastern Illinois University, looking at the changing face of religion in the United States. We heard on Facebook from Cody, who says it's sad to him that religions are changing who they are to chase public opinion. What do you think of that idea, Ryan?
Well, I mean, I would actually argue I don't think that's happening, because like I talked about, evangelicalism in America has not changed what it is. It's been consistently conservative for the last 50 years at least, and it's actually doing relatively well in American society. There's still about 22% of Americans. They're actually larger today than they were in 1972. The kind of religion in America that's declining is the moderate religion, the mainline religion, the one I was talking about. I'm actually an American Baptist, which is a mainline Protestant church. We allow women pastors. Some churches affirm LGBT lifestyles. And we're the kind of churches that are declining the most rapidly. We've gone from 30% to 10% in the last 30 years or so, and we are on a trajectory to be less than 5% in 10 years. So, I mean, the churches that aren't changing are actually doing very, very well in modern society. It's the middle that's sort of being hollowed out. We're seeing religious polarization like we're seeing political polarization.
Let's bring on another caller. Kylie is with us in Sparta. Kylie, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Kylie?
So I'm 40. Oh, I feel old. Okay. I was lucky and was raised in the Congregational United Church of Christ. And we, our denomination is, you know, no matter like who you are or where you're coming from, like you're always welcome in our church. Like, that's the denomination. The church in my town, through the years, hasn't changed all that much with the denomination. So it's a little more conservative. The church, my personal church, a little more conservative than the denomination itself is. Mm-hmm. And in the last few years, I have not been attending church like I used to, but God has still never left me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just don't go to church as much as I used to, but, you know,
we don't have too much time left. Thank you for that call. So, Ryan, I hear Kylie's not moved away from her faith at all, but her particular congregation isn't bringing her into the pews as much as it used to.
Yeah, that's the issue with every denomination, though, right? I mean, how much control can you really have over what the local church does? And in a lot of denominations, like Baptist, for instance, it's all local church autonomy. Each church can decide what it wants to do at the individual church level in terms of doctrine, theology, and everything else. And there's really not a lot the national denomination can do to force you to go one direction or the other. So that's the hard thing about studying American religion. When I talk about United Methodists, there's 30,000 congregations, and they're all different in their own unique way.
And Ryan, we've heard from some people who, have been in and out a little bit over their lives, and we hear a lot about young people in churches. Is there a sense for young people that churches are talking to them, that denominations are talking to them, and keeping up with whatever their unique generational needs are?
Every church is obsessed with trying to bring in the next generation. You know, like church growth is an entire industry. It's probably hundreds of millions of dollars in literature and conferences and workshops and everything else. And the problem that evangelicals are struggling with is they want to be consistent with their theology, which is conservative, especially on issues like LGBT issues or the environment or social justice. The problem is, though, that we know that younger and younger Americans are overwhelmingly in favor of gay marriage, like 75-80% of young people, and even a majority of young evangelicals are in favor of gay marriage. So at some point, how do they stay doctrinally orthodox but also be attractive to this next generation that finds some of their positions to be too far to the right and too conservative for the changing society? So that's a tough nut to crack, right, to try to be both things at one time.
In our last couple of minutes, again, you project this out to 2030, but things can change. What are some of the next pieces of evidence you're watching out for?
So the things that I am thinking about a lot are the changing racial demographics of America, right? We know that, I mean, the Census Bureau projects this, that white people will not be the majority of Americans somewhere in the next 25 or 30 years. What that means for American religion is a lot of things. For instance, the Catholic Church, which used to be 95% white, is now only 75% white, right? So if more and more Hispanics come to America and bring their Catholicism to America, that means the Catholic Church in America is going to have to become more racially diverse, which means it might have to become more theologically diverse. White evangelicalism is in danger because white people are declining as a share of the population. That's a big thing that I think about. Also with immigration, though, people are immigrating here not just from predominantly Catholic countries. We're seeing a lot of immigration from Southeast Asian countries, places that are Hindu or Buddhist or Muslim. And so we might see that segment of American society grow much more than what we're seeing right now, because a lot of those groups are less than 1% of Americans today. But imagine a future where, if you add Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists together, they make up 8 or 9% of Americans. That's the same size as black Protestants are today. I mean, they would become a significant social and political force in America. So there's all this demography that's going on. And then the other thing is the baby boomers are going to die off in the next 15 to 20 years, and they're going to have to be replaced by the next generation, which is less religious than they are. So all this kind of ties together.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Pleasure.
That's Ryan Burge, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Eastern Illinois University, looking at the future of religion and belief in the United States.